I'm 105.
The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Jeskowitz?
7:41.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 5th of 2017. Faxed into three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Demerle?
Here.
Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mrs. Miller? Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. Olowski? And Mrs. Rudelgota? And Mrs. Vanderoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Certainly.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Vanderoff, would you please serve as the process guardian for tonight's meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Clinton Township School District's monthly board meeting. Today is Monday, May 8th. It's very nice to look up from the dais here and see so many people in the audience for tonight's meeting. As it is with most of the Board of Education's meetings that occur in early and late spring, we have a packed agenda. Tonight we will recognize our Clinton Township Middle School spring sports teams. Dr. Bill Labrera is here this evening to present his findings on the feasibility of closing a school in Clinton Township. Those staff members that are retiring from the district will be recognized by Dr. Villani. And she also has a series of proclamations to recognize Special Education Week, Staff Appreciation Week, and School Nurses Day. The board will then conduct its regular business, followed by an executive session. So without further ado, Dr. Villani.
Thank you. We're gonna start this evening with the spring athletes. Mr. Ruby and Mr. Helmstetter, would you like to come forward?
All right, welcome. I just wanted to say good evening. I'm Brent Ruge, and this is Don Helmstetter, and we are here in recognition of the spring sports athletes for Clinton Township. I feel like it wasn't that long ago that we were here for the fall and winter athletes, so here we are with our spring winding down, and our athletes are here to represent their respective teams, and we just wanted to say thank you to the athletes for spending the time and the effort they've put in for this season. And I think it's important to remember as we see these athletes come up and be recognized, just to say thank you, that it's not always about winning and losing with our sports teams. I think that it's important to remember like the memories and the good times that we have on the sports fields and with each other tonight. And it's kind of what really allows us to prepare everyone for ourselves moving forward for the high school and hopefully college and success and jobs later in life. So I think it's important to hear some stories, especially from the athletes and whatnot as they go on. We just ran into one tonight out at dinner. Oh, I remember when you guys did this, or I remember we did this with the sports team, and she's texting her friend saying, oh, ask them about this, and we did. And it was kind of fun. So I just encourage all of you to kind of just remember these times as you move on to the high school, and we look forward to hearing some stories from you guys as well. So we just wanted to invite the captains of the girls lacrosse team. We have two members of the girls lacrosse team to come up, and Coach Lindeberry and Chelsea Lindeberry was the coach. We have the two lacrosse players come up, and Carrie Seidenberg also coached this year for us. And we just want to say thank you. The girls lacrosse team started out early in the year, and we kind of went through some transitions and a couple challenges as the season went on, and the girls just wanted to say a couple words, and we wanted to say thank you for the girls that represented our middle school. So this is Caitlin and Jenna Brissett.
I stole
our
introduction.
Oh, there you go.
On behalf of the girls lacrosse team, I would like to say thank you
for the opportunity for us to play this year.
We hope that for the following teams, have a great season and look forward to playing in high school.
Thank you, Coach Sainz-Girls. Next up, we wanted to have coaches Ben Cozen and Jen Hermiston come up, and they're representatives of the boys lacrosse team, and with them will be Connor Brissett, the captain of the boys team. Both coming up this year's lacrosse team in CTMS is it's a young program where both girls and the boys are young programs. They have not been here as long as baseball and basketball, and both these programs are going through times when they're really spending time learning what it takes to play together as a team, work together as a team, and find out what it takes to win, especially at a pretty high level. Lacrosse is very good in this area, and we play some very big schools. So it's exciting to see these guys grow and become better. So here's Connor, a few words.
Hi, I'm Connor Brissett, and I'm the captain of the boys lacrosse team. First off, I would like to say thank you to Mr. Cozen and Ms. Harbison for coaching us this spring. This year's lacrosse team at CTMS is taking the first steps to becoming a long-standing program here. Still in our young program, we are learning what it takes to be good teammates and the value of working together to accomplish the same goal. With hard work and determination, our team looks ahead to get a few more wins on the season and hopefully make an impact in the playoffs.
Thank you, coaches. Thank you, Connor. Next up, we just wanted to recognize, the boys baseball team, representing the boys baseball team this evening, Mr. Richard Tariff and Jess Comerford. You guys can just stand. We just want to say thank you to the coaches. I should have said this earlier. The spring season is very tough for our athletes, and much like others, but more so this spring, a lot of our athletes are out playing a second game this evening. So, unfortunately, the baseball team is tough representation for them, but they're all out playing this evening. So I just wanted to say thank you. The boys baseball team has also had some success this year. Warren Hills was a big win, and they're upholding a long tradition here at the Clinton Township Middle School as well. And thank you to the coaches, and look forward to hearing about the playoffs. So thank you. Nice job. Next up, we wanted to recognize Coach Gallo and the girls softball team. So if we could have the captains of the girls softball team come up, and we'll have all of the girls representing, we'll have the most girls here this evening, all the girls representing the girls softball team just stand up as they come up. And this is the girls. There you go. Introduce yourself.
First of all, we'd like to accept the award of the most attendees.
Taylor and I are very proud to be named the team captains of the girls' softball team. Our record may not be perfect, but the effort brought forth during these past few games is remarkable. We are very proud of every single one of these girls and the amount of effort and teamwork they have had, and we couldn't be happier, and we wish our 7th graders good luck next year.
We'd also like to thank the coaches this year. Thank you, Mrs. Gallo, for being such a good coach and a leader. Thank you so much for everything you've done for this team this year.
Thank you, Coach Gallo.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Coach. Concludes our spring sports for this year, and on behalf of all of us and the students and the staff and the coaches, we just want to say also thank you to the Board of Education for setting up, you know, fields we've worked hard with. Dr. Villani, thank you. AJ with the busing has really helped us out. Mrs. Hammond and Mrs. Cohn, we work every day with everybody together. And Mrs. Grant, we've been on the phone sorting out fields and activities, what's happening, who can play where. And it takes a lot of coordination, and we just want to say thank you from all of us to all of you for allowing this to happen this year. And really, it's with your support and encouragement from our leadership that allows us to have a successful program this year. And we just wanted to say thank you, and we look forward to another great year next year. So thank you.
On behalf of the entire Clinton Township Board of Education, I would like to congratulate all of our student athletes for their participation and successes that they've had this past spring on the softball field, on the baseball diamond, on the lacrosse field for the boys, and the girls as well did get a game in there. I am proud to have watched small portions of each of your games or many of your games and contests, and you guys should be really proud of how you represented yourself, your families, and this community each and every time you put that CTMS jersey on. So thank you for representing the school and this community with such grace, with such level integrity, as you have all spring. Even when things are going well and may not be going well, you guys still held your chin up high and represented us well. So thank you very much for that. I'd also like to thank the parents of these student athletes as well. They are an extension of who you are. So their grace that they display on the field and how hard they work and how hard that they work to represent this community is really an extension of who you are. So thank you for providing us with such wonderful student athletes. I'd also like to thank each and every one of the coaches. Coaching is not an easy task at all. There are many, many things that you have to manage on top of your school day. So I'd like to thank you for your excellent leadership and how you guide our students in their endeavors as they work to compete and again represent this school in many of the communities that you go to play in. Mr. Ruge and Mr. Helmstetter, thank you for working so hard to put together this annual program. I appreciate, and the board appreciates your effort. Mrs. Hammond and Ms. Cohen, I'd like to thank you as well because you're a huge part of the success of this program. So once again, thank you to everybody for helping our students have such a great season. Thank you. One last thing, I have a message for the girls who are on the girls lacrosse team. You were able to have one game and then were not able to play the rest of your season. I want to encourage you not to allow this opportunity or this circumstance to not have you want to go to high school and to play at the next level and to represent your school. And I don't want you to be discouraged to coming back and trying to represent CTMS next year. I'm pretty confident that you'll be able to represent CTMS on that lacrosse field. Do not be discouraged. And for those of you that are moving on to high school, again, don't be discouraged. Work hard to get on that team and don't stop playing. Now I'm done.
I just wanted to say thank you to our players and your families, to our coaches, to our athletic supervisors, our building administrators, and of course, our board of ed. Our programs would not be possible without the support and dedication that each of you provide to our school district. Before we end our discussion of athletics, I wanted to take the opportunity to recognize the achievements of one of our own. Mr. Ruge, will you please come forward? We're going to embarrass Mr. Ruge just a little bit tonight. Mr. Ruge has been competing in triathlons for 12 years. He's completed 2 full Ironman distance races, 17 half Ironman distance races, and 14 Olympic distance races. Last summer, Mr. Ruge had the opportunity to compete among 3,000 athletes in the United States at the national championships. 15 athletes in each age group were awarded the opportunity to represent the United States in Rotterdam, Netherlands. That competition, which will take place in this coming fall, will determine the best amateur athletes in the world. Mr. Ruge was one of the successful athletes. He will compete as part of the Olympic Distance Triathlon Team USA.
Woo!
going to run. He's like, I can run fast.
Just a little background. Team USA was created by the USA Triathlon to be a team of age group amateurs who will best represent the United States and compete in the International Triathlon Union's World Championships. The World Championships attract the best athletes in over 50 countries each year. So congratulations, Mr. Ruggi. We are proud of your accomplishments and look forward to seeing all you can do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, last time we had an athletic presentation, I got to end the evening with a really exciting note that will not happen again today. I apologize. Last time I announced that there was no school the next day because of inclement weather. So, students and staff, you have to come back tomorrow. But students, you are released. Thank you so much for
Thank you for coming. Whose child was that?
Gee, I wonder.
They're so not like you.
They're so not like you. Approximately 1 year ago, the Clinton Township Board of Education formed an ad hoc committee to research the feasibility of closing a school. At that time, the committee determined that a building could not be immediately closed and committed to gathering more information in 1 year. This past spring, the ad hoc committee reconvened and hired a firm, West Hudson Associates, to complete a feasibility study. This evening, Dr. Bill Labrera will present the findings of his feasibility study. Dr. Labrera has been a public school educator in New Jersey for more than 37 years. He has served as the New Jersey Commissioner of Education, as a superintendent, principal, and high school social studies teacher. He recently completed his work as a presidential research professor at Rutgers University, where he served as the executive director of the Rutgers Institute for Improving Student Achievement. Dr. Labrera has worked with the national consulting firm of Hazard, Young, and Atea as a search consultant. He also provides boards of education with his expertise in strategic planning, goal setting, and various types of feasibility studies. Dr. Labrera will present his findings, as I mentioned a few moments ago, this evening. He will also do a second presentation for those who could not make tonight's meeting on Monday, May 22nd at 7:30 right here in the Clinton Township Middle School Auditorium. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Bill Labrera.
Thank you, President Grant, and good evening. Before I go through the slides that I have, which built on a lot of the important work that the board and boards before this board have explored, I would like you to know that the Board of Education has pursued this with me with an open mind on all options. And so what I have assembled are four possibilities to address what is a declining enrollment and what that has, what that means in terms of the schools that you have. The focus, if anything is going to be done with one of the schools, it will be Spruce Run. And that's not because Spruce Run is in a difficult condition. It's on the contrary. The school is really in exceptional shape, as far as I'm concerned. It's very kind of President Grant to mention that it's only been 37 years. It's more than that, but we'll leave it at 37. The reason for Spruce Run as being under consideration is that it's the smallest of the four schools. So when the matter of going to three schools, if that ends up being the decision, it just makes sense that the school that would be selected to be not in the three would be the smaller one. And although that building began in 1955, it's important to know that there's been two additions. The most recent one was in 1995. And it is in an extraordinary condition, in my view. And it also is on a beautiful site, as most of the schools in this district are. But this is not a matter of beauty. This is a matter of what's best for the school community, for parents, for students, and for the community. What's the best decision? And I have four options that are the sum and substance of the work that I've done, not only reading the documents, and the board has been terrific about providing me with every option that can be explored in all of those documents. And in addition to that, I've explored other things with county tax assessors, local Clinton Township assessors, and other people. And all of that put together has produced what I think are four options. None of the four are without any kind of difficulty. All of them have certain advantages. But what we're going to do tonight is the Board of Education is going to just listen to the responses of the public that's here tonight. I will answer any and all of the questions, because this work is the work that I did on behalf of the Board of Education for the Clinton Township community. And what I'd like to do is stop at the end of every slide to see if anyone has a question about anything on that slide. Because there's 15 slides, and if you have to wait until the end of 15, you'll not remember what was said probably on the second or third one. But everything that's in this presentation tonight is also going to be on the website. It is a PDF on the website, and this will be the same presentation on May 22nd, okay? So with that, it's the future of four schools. Now, one of the options that has been mentioned in the documents in the district is the possibility of mothballing the school, the one school. I think that is a very bad decision, because I don't think anything good comes as a result of that. Empty buildings, particularly where it is located. And so I don't think mothballing is an option at all, and it's not included at all. But it also means that whatever you decide, and it's the board that is going to think about these proposals, and what they decide, it should also follow that whatever they decide to do, the buildings should never be left vacant while they're pursuing the plan. It can't be. It won't be. It's in no one's interest, and that's the worst thing to do. So you're not going to hear anything more about that from me. Okay, what I'm going to do is now go through slide two. It's important, and some of you may know most of this, if not all of it, but I think it's important to know this information. This wonderful building was built in 2007. Now, some very important things that happened in 2007 that couldn't be predicted in 2004 or 5. One of them is the Highlands Act. The other one is that happens to be because of the Highlands Act and other things, because of the natural trend that has now exists about declining enrollment in many communities, not certainly this community. But that building was constructed because
At one point, when you had three schools, you had 1,831 students in three schools, and it was completely inadequate. It was overcrowded. So it made sense to construct this building, given that reality. And once you decide to do that and build that, then you get to a point in 2007 where other factors come in. Now, that's just history, and it's important to know. This is what I'm going to do with these slides. The decline pretty much does start 2007 and 8 in that area. And you see it's the Highlands Act, and then there's three large companies that leave. It's a little hard to determine what impact that had, but it had to have some impact. The last one in this is pretty interesting, and that is that current district enrollment is approximately 1,350. Which means that that population of students has actually increased slightly. And when I looked at the demographic studies that were done for the district, one by the high school organizations for every school that sends kids to either North Hunterdon or Voorhees, the population does seem to be in the future fairly stable and maybe even will grow a little. Now, how much it's going to grow, you have to look at demographics to see that. It certainly isn't in any of that information showing that it's going to get to 1,800 again. Doesn't show that. But it is important for you to know that the number is not declining precipitously. If anything, it's holding its own. And if you look at surrounding districts, they are declining as well, and some of them considerably smaller than this district. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, the last part. I have boards of education because this board is not the last one and the only one to ever do this. Boards have grappled with this for obvious reasons. And they've worked diligently since 2014, and there's plenty of documentation to show that. But the board has concluded, and they're right to have concluded this, that it's time to consider a specific course of action to be implemented as soon as possible. So that's by way of history. And I will pause. Questions, raise your hand. If not, I'm going to go on. Seeing none. Factors affecting options. Spruce Run student and teacher expenses for this year, because we're not in next year, so it's a little hard to decide or to determine what that's going to be, except that it's very likely to be higher than 3,518,423,17. Probably safe to think about 1.5% or 2, something like that. But the thing about that is that if you close Spruce Run for some other purpose, that cost moves in entirety to the next school. Has to. Because the way grade configuration exists in this district is that it is specifically to certain grades for each of those schools. So it's not like you could take students from Spruce Run and put them in Patrick McGarren in the second grade or third grade. You wouldn't be able to do that. So whatever happens in these options, whatever the board decides, if Spruce Run is no longer the school that you have known it to be, that cost doesn't go away, stays. And as we'll see as we go through, taking three grades and putting it in one school does not mean that's all you do. You're going to have to deal with that school will need to get some support, and then you're going to have grades expand in each of the other schools. Like this is a 7-8 middle school, it become a 6-7-8. And similar kind of pattern in terms of Round Valley. Round Valley, excuse me. Okay, now, the next figure here of Spruce Run annual operating cost, it means that if that school were to be vacated, the cost for keeping it in function in some way is $510,000. So when you are thinking about the possible cost benefit analysis in this, 510 is the approximate number. Now, residential housing sales, and the gentleman Tony Porto from the county tax, who is the county tax assessor, shows that sales were in 2014, 189, 2015, 182, 2016, 195. It's pretty stable. But that's not a small number. Now, it is true that there is a general pattern of people and their families moving to urban areas throughout the whole country. That's a trend. But there's another part of this to look at. And I didn't mean to hit transportation savings, but if you take a look at the sales are predominantly three-bedroom, four-bedroom, and to some extent, five-bedrooms. And although there is this trend towards urban areas, you still have a factor of young families in urban areas tend to leave urban areas fairly quickly to try and find suburban areas close to wherever that urban area is. The problem with that kind of settlement and pattern is those suburbs close to New York City, as an example, are very expensive. All of which means there is potential in this when you look at three bedrooms, four bedrooms, five bedrooms for families with children to come. Now, nobody knows how many or what the percentage is, but nevertheless, it's there. And when you know that there is a stable figure on the population, as we see it from the demographic studies, there is potential here for some growth. Dramatic? Maybe not, but there is potential for some. Now, back to the savings part of this, or the money that's involved in this. If you are no longer going to have Spruce Run as a fully operating school, there is a benefit of $287,922 transportation savings when you go to three schools. Which is good news. It also has a way of mitigating the other number of 510. Because 510 is the operating cost for whatever you may do, other than if you sell it. This would offset to some degree the 510 expense. And I see some furrowed brows, so let me get to the end and I'll answer questions. There's been preliminary architectural discussions about the addition of second floor feasibility in Spruce Run. Turns out to be a fairly complicated process. Not one where the architects have said you can't do it, but it's a lot of work to do. Estimated improvement costs, and this comes from the board's work, to remaining schools following Spruce Run closure starts with $850,000 minimum for the middle school. Not because the middle school's in bad repair, but the middle school would add the sixth grade to that. What else would be involved in Patrick McGarren, because it's likely to be the place that will absorb if Spruce Run closes, there will be costs there too as well. But we do not know right now what that number would be. We've had some discussion with people about zoning considerations, preliminary preliminarily reviewed with town officials, and it seems like most use seems feasible. Possibility for a variance, but in that discussion, it didn't seem like a variance would be a real big issue in that. Okay, that's the end of that slide. Questions? Sir?
You first, please.
Go ahead.
Why would the operating costs not be added to the transportation costs?
Because if you know that you have to, if you were going to inhabit it, and I think you're going to have to inhabit it with something, either the students that are there, or whoever may come as a leasee or a repurposing, you have to consider that it costs you that kind of money to run that school.
Unless it was sold.
Unless it was sold, exactly.
And what about capital costs?
Capital costs?
Well, I'm sure it's capital investment area to keep the, or is that included in the operating, or it's separate costs?
This generally, I think, rolled into the 510 number.
Seriously?
Well, because
it
usually is, except that the building happens to be in pretty good repair,
right.
And I've seen some statistics that say over a period of time, 5-7 years, it would cost X.
Sure.
Don't know what it would cost in the first year. There'd be some cost
sure.
for that.
Right.
But the point here is, if you were to stop, if you were to stop right on this 1 year, you would have a 510 requirement for just about everything that's in this, except if you sell it.
Exactly.
Right? And if you kept it except and you didn't sell it, you would have the offset of 287 against 510. Okay? That's what's meant by that. Yes?
Quick question, Dr. Libera.
Sure.
On, mothballing. If we can just spend 30 quick seconds, I understand you believe it's not a good idea to have an unoccupied building that is still the responsibility of the district. But understanding the operating expense of approximately $510,000 a year, do you have any estimates on the potential ongoing operating expense? Would it be $500 for an occupied building? No, but there would be ongoing annual expenses incurred by this district for an unoccupied building, correct?
Yes.
And ballpark figure on that?
Don't know, but it would be safe to say that when you had inhabitants, it was at least 510.
Right.
It could be, it probably be less because you wouldn't have the same heat requirements and things like that.
Wouldn't.
However, I don't know how far that goes down.
Okay.
What inhabitant considerations are you making?
Excuse me?
If you're saying that inhabitant is always going to be in the building, but you're vacating, if your assumption is you're vacating it from the school district, someone inhabits that not from the school district, that $500,000 is not a school district expenditure.
Well, let's just hold that until we go through some of these options. Because when you repurpose, because if that's going to...
I understand.
Yeah. When you repurpose, that means the board is responsible for repurposing.
But it. You can be responsible, but if someone's leasing it, they're paying those expenditures. That would be a safe...
On a lease, yes. On a lease. Not on a repurpose.
I got a question back here, Doctor.
Okay. Now, all of this is subject to an agreement that you make with people, but I'm just starting
well,
with basic
purpose. I mean, if you close a school, and I'm not advocating closing it, mm-hmm. but if you close a school, you close a building, you're not repurposing it within that functional area of the Board of Ed.
Well, let's look at what a repurposing is, because I think that's different than your understanding. You're right about the lease, but the repurposing is by definition, as I've used it, it's the programs that the board runs for that building.
So your assumption is that if the building is closed, the building will continue to be used by the Board of Education for some purpose, but you're defining as repurposing, therefore you're not closing the school.
Generally, yes. Now, that's not the case on a sale. Not a case. But on the other three that we'll go through, I will try to explain how that works.
Going back, you put the slide already. You showed one aspect, which I agree with, is homes being sold, large bedrooms. You need to consider that people moving into them are very likely to either have children or will have children, and that will impact the district. There's two other items that you don't seem to have considered there, maybe you have considered as you go on. That is expansion within Clinton Township that would add to, or could add to, some numbers to the student population in the schools, and also the number of empty nesters, which are increasing the aging population and older people without students no longer in the community, not moving out. Any particular reason those are not there, or do we see those in another slide?
Well, you, on the matter of an expanding population because of construction in this community, that's pretty low as a possibility.
But you did you or did you not take that into consideration?
Did not take that into consideration, instead tried to focus much more on the sales and on the bedrooms so that you could have some idea of who might come in. If you're selling 40 houses, that's one thing. If you're selling 190 a year, many of which have two, three, and four bedrooms, in fact, almost all of them, you have the potential to have children in there. We don't know how many will come, but we do know the possibility is there.
And are those possibilities included in your analysis?
No, because I have no percentage to be able to base that on. The people who did that work for me didn't tell me how many children were in the sale. They were good enough to tell me this is how many bedrooms were in the sale. So I just simply wanted to deal with that as potential. It's potential that's there. And depending on what happens in the district, and depending on what's happening in the smaller schools around, there could be growth in this. There could be.
But it's not considered in your analysis.
That's correct, because the demographic studies that have been done don't show that.
So a limiter of looking at your data is the stagnant population and stagnant buildings within the township.
No. No, what I think will happen is there's going to be a slight increase in enrollment because of a couple of factors. The bedrooms is one thing. It's just not going to be 1,800. I don't believe that you're going to have continued decline in this town. In fact, I think, if anything, you're going to have slight increases and maybe bigger, depending on what's happening with this. Now, let's go a little further, because the repurposing in this, I think, is an important thing to think about in terms of the first question you've asked, sir. Yes? I have been given figures for how many classrooms there are in each of the four buildings. I don't know about school, about classes in the basement.
Like in a lower level?
Excuse me?
There
could be a lower level, but it's not necessarily basement. It's a lower level.
There's a lower level in the back portion of the building. It's actually, as if there were two floors in the building, it's not a basement.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
awesome. Yeah, see, definition of basement is below land.
Yeah.
That's the way I always thought about it. I didn't know of any. Yes, yes. Did we answer your question? Yes, okay, good. Yes. It is a figure. In 2015, done by a gentleman named Jerry Ford, who I think is the person who does that work for the district. And then we asked him if he could update that for 2017, which is what he did, with three schools. There's some economy in that. That's correct. But just putting that in, based on the number that he gave us, based on if you were down to three schools, how that would work. Okay? Okay. Let's go to the next slide. Assuming the next slide will work. The tech person shall fix this. Where did you hit it? That's what I was hitting. It must be your finger.
I have been told I have the magic touch.
Yeah, it must be. If it doesn't work this time, you have to stand here. You know, why don't you stand right here?
All right, just tell me when to press it.
Go. Okay, now, here's what we're talking about, repurpose. Efforts designed and supervised by the Clinton Township Board of Education, which means it is their building and their program. That's what it means. Now, let's go a little further. I'll give you some examples of what that looks like. Go ahead. No, you're going to have to do this. Okay, here's one. And these examples are not the only ones, but they're illustrations. You could create an early childhood center serving children from ages 2 through kindergarten. And what that would mean is kindergarten is a program for students that's a part of this school district. So no one pays to go to kindergarten. But if you look at ages 2 through kindergarten, that includes age 2, age 3, age 4. Those could be, because there are examples in this surrounding area of such programs, those could be revenue figures, because people who have to the people, the adults, are working, they need to find places where children would go. You could also do this with surrounding areas. And what you would need to do is figure out if you could be competitive with the programs that presently exist. There are two in this town and one very close on the border. Those have a cost that I think the district, if the district wanted to do that, could be very competitive. That's one example of repurposing. If you repurpose, you've got those same costs that we were talking about in the first one, right? You got them. No, it's all on you, because it doesn't work for me. Second one is the creation of a school serving children's age 3 through 21 with autism as permitted by the Department of Education. The programs for children with autism are not in the Hunterdon County area. They're a distance from here. So that's a possibility. Not only of Clinton Township students, of which there would be no cost because of their category of being children with autism, but to surrounding areas, there is that potential of cost. Or, not cost, revenue. All right? Now, the 3 through 21 with autism, the biggest one around is the Morris Union Jointure, who's got about 275 kids. So, that's another thought. In both of these cases, you take the building, you hold on to the building, and the building is yours and the program is yours if you choose to have it. Those are repurposing. Okay, quickly on the advantages and disadvantages.
Yes.
No.
Too far?
Oh, no. Okay, well, no, we're all right here. Advantage, go ahead, let's go. Okay, on the early childhood center, you wouldn't want to charge the same thing for tuition for people whose children, for families whose children live in this community. Why? I mean, you could, but I think it would be better to make it as affordable as you could make it for people who live in this town. Now, the board will decide. Maybe they will decide to have a full revenue for anyone who comes, with the exception of the children who must accompany your children who have special needs, who are 3 and 4 years old. You must have, if you have 15 such children, you have to have 15 children who have no such condition. All right, here, private centers, 12 to 14,000 for 10 months program, and is before and after care should be offered as an additional cost. All right, those are advantages. I think the cost there is an advantage to the district, if the district wants to consider it. Disadvantages? Do you think it has something to do with the wood?
No.
Oh.
The reason where it receives it is on the front of it.
Yeah, okay. You're doing a good job, though. Thank you. All right. The disadvantages, there are costs here if you were to start that program. You have to pay for teachers, you have to pay for aides, and it's not a complete benefit on revenue, but it's something you'd have to consider to see whether that's one thing you may want to do with this school. Assuming that either you take all students out of the Spruce Run, or maybe you just leave kindergarten students in there with these programs, which you could do. It would ease the population stress in some of the other buildings. You would do that. All right, questions? Yes. Because at least in one of the two, there is some benefit that is accrued to the community by having this. Because I believe that you could construct, depending on what you want to think about, a program that didn't cost as much. In which case, you could have families in your community who are going to this program as opposed to another. The other thing that happens is, if you have a program for 2 through 4, that generally is an attractive aspect to a school district, and you may well increase your enrollment in the district because you have it. That's the basic benefit of it. Plus, you keep the building. You keep the operation, it continues to be a school, and if you hold on to it being a kindergarten in there, the state never can come back and say you've changed the use because you have a kindergarten in there. Once you take the kindergarten out, then you are in fact changing the condition of the building, and then the state can say to you, you must bring it up to full scale, and that can be very costly. Now, the other part, that's for the early childhood. As far as the children with autism, one never knows what your population will be like. You don't know that. But what we do know is if your children with autism are not on the mild end of the spectrum, but on the more severe end of the spectrum, the cost for children to be educated out of your district is huge. And Morris Union Jointure is now predominantly with severely afflicted children with autism, because now districts are trying to keep children in their school, especially the kids who have the more mild versions of it. Because Morris Union Jointure charges $81,000. A student without transportation. And if you need more than the conventional aids, that is a payment too. So you could pay $120,000 for that. You could. Yes?
So, with all your data, you know, you're giving us options here, which I definitely appreciate. And I'll be very open. I'm totally against closing the schools. But if you're going to give me an option, I want to see a little bit more data. So, if I see these are very high-level assumptions. Is there more data to back up how much money you could actually make from this? You're telling us charging $12,000 to $14,000 a month for a program. You're giving us very high-level of what the numbers could be for the children. I need some
I can give you a couple of possibilities. But until such time you decide that you may want to do this, then you have to decide, so what's the figure? Because we have no figure here.
Okay,
theirs is not 12 or 14. It will be lower than that. Where is it? What is it? That's the only way you can begin to calculate. Now, what you have to do with this, you pretty much have to deal with certified teachers. And if you deal with certified teachers, you're probably not going to be able to have certified teachers in a program that you're supporting that's very different than what certified teachers on that salary scale get. You are going to have a number, like if you use toddlers, if you're going to have toddlers, you're going to have a lower number in that class. You're going to have to be somewhere around 6 to 10, something like that.
So I guess this is just high-level assumptions where we have to decide.
It is. Here is something that if you think that has some interest to you, then what we do is explore this in terms of what's the possibility, what are you going to charge, how are you going to do that, how much are you going to, you have some leeway with AIDS. But the population beyond that follows the general pattern of children in these programs who are not children who are coming with autism. You're probably not going to get more than 10 to 12 students in a class other than what you're doing with college. It depends entirely. If you like that idea, then what you say is you put, if we get 10 in a class and we have 30 children, here's the likely number in this, here's the likely amount of return you would get on the dollar. But what you also get here is those programs that I've described are very high quality educational programs. They're not places that are just centers to just have children there. These are educational programs. And there isn't a big sum of money in that, nor in the other, because what they're talking about in the Marsh Union Jointure is almost one faculty member to a student, and then an aide. You add that up, what you do is really reduce the margin of income from 81,000 to a much smaller number. Now they can do that because they have 250 kids. So, to your question, I can't do that until you tell me, we want to do that, we want to have this, we want to do 10, we're going to do this with our present community people, and then open this up. All of those have to be filled in, and they're not to be filled in by me. I'm just giving you, here's the place. Here's what you have to do. And the other thing about this is, we're trying to do something so that you see four options. And then the board thinks about those four options and decides which one makes the most sense and why.
Well, I appreciate you saying that the margin, because now we know that it's this option, it's not that we're really getting much revenue from it. It's almost like somebody's in there keeping the school open.
No, you'll get some of it.
It depends on
your population, how many students are coming.
Well, but that's why I asked about the demographics, because you had mentioned the one autistic school had, how many did you say?
What, the autism school?
Yeah.
275.
275, so it's just a matter of if we get some of that population or if we come from it. That's why I asked about the demographics.
Yeah, you really know when you go through some hypotheticals and you say it appears that for every 10 students, this is a revenue.
Dr. LeBrere, sorry. We got three more out there. We've got this gentleman, that young man. Yeah.
Okay, we have a couple. Yes.
Just a quick question. For the early childhood center, you mentioned that there was two other centers in the community and one in the surrounding community. Can you tell us the names of those just so we can kind of compare them? My kids are older, so I don't know what the names of the schools are.
Well, it's not across the building, not right across the father. Foundation is the next one.
There's
and the other one is Acorn Montessori. Those are the three. Yeah, those are the three. Now, they are high-quality educational programs. I don't want to refer to anything as a babysitting program, but there is an educational program. Those three.
I agree.
And very good programs. Okay? Yes?
I have two questions or points. First is regarding the early childhood education piece.
Yes.
The state at this point is not mandating that children go to a early childhood program. So,
correct.
So, you know, is there something there? You know, this is like a
well, the way that I would answer that is because it is likely that two parents in the community both work, they're all looking to find programs. And that's why you have programs as good as the programs I just mentioned in this area, because of their need for that. It's not because the DOE says you should do that. The DOE says you should do that for children with special needs, including children with autism. That you must do something with the ones that are identified. Others, you don't have to. However, if you look at this number and you think about children and you think about the numbers that I'm talking about, 10 in class, then you can do some of your own arithmetic to see about potential. Not because you would go into the marketplace right away with those three that are established and doing really well, and ask for the second because that wouldn't work for you. The question is, if you want to do that, what do you want to charge and how do you want to do it? Did that answer your question?
Sort of.
What didn't it answer?
Well, the other piece to that, one of the, I think the communities we have currently as first run with our preschool program is those children that come into our program as it is right now, they get the benefit of all the other services that are coming in for the children that are already identified. And they get a school nurse. You're not getting that out in the community. And that's part of their package. And that, I think, if we were to market something like this, that's, we have an advantage as a public school.
Yes.
That our communities.
Yes.
Programs.
You also have an advantage, in my judgment, with a superior facility to the others as good as they are.
But I want to that's my other point. If we do this, I don't know if you're aware, we don't have bathrooms in every classroom.
Correct.
So have you looked at what it would cost to then address that issue?
The Department of Education has permitted the Clinton Township Board of Education to have kindergarten children in classrooms without a bathroom, as long as it is reasonably close, as it has been. Once you no longer own that building, then you have that requirement to put bathrooms in every single one of the classrooms. But you wouldn't have to do that in this case. Now, it depends. You'd have to do with toddlers. You'd have to do that. So there would be some cost with that. But the cost on toddlers is a little higher in all of these places than 3 and 4 year olds. Because there's greater attention you need and greater other things. So there's cost for that. Yes.
Wait, Dr. Libero, this guy's back here has been pretty patient. We got to.
I'm sorry.
We're 3 and 4 year old program developer currently have enough numbers for the last 3 years. I know there's been a lottery system, so you should have enough insight up to who's interested in it for the last couple of years.
Yeah. I think I have heard a number, but I'll ask Dr. Vellani. Did you Did you say you had approximately 15 children?
Alice just did the lottery, so.
Right, so we have about 45 names on a, you know, of children who entered the lottery, and this year, next year we'll have two sections, so we're pulling 16 of those names, which leaves a lot of children still on the list.
And it's been 45 to 50. How many children have been identified as children with special needs who are 3 years old and four, and that number is 16?
Correct.
Correct, which means you need 16 of the other students, and that's how that.
And we have 45 to 50 on the list of the gen ed students.
Not surprising, not surprising. Yes, sir.
Would that make the purpose of the state guidelines for the kindergarten, because we have that program in place, would that satisfy the state rather than being the kindergarten there? Would having that program in the school be sufficient, or did it have to keep the kindergarten there?
You would have to keep the kindergarten there.
Okay.
But you don't need a lottery.
No, I'm saying, would that program be sufficient to pass the state code?
I think so. Yes, I think so. And that's the other point, that we pull kindergarten in, that's still a school program, and you are not susceptible to the state coming in and saying, you vacated the building, now you are free on the program. Okay? All right. Someone else? Yes.
Aside from the code piece, would you manage the, if you chose to repurpose the school for the toddlers, but I think the little bit of his question is, do we have enough children to make this
to come in at, in the early childhood center? I'm not certain that we're, I'm hearing numbers that would indicate that we do have enough children coming in that would be able to satisfy that. Well, one never knows until you offer the program. And what you do is you understand, you need to understand that in the first year, your population isn't going to be as big as it is in the second and third. What you have as an advantage is a ratio of how many students with teachers. Nobody knows how many you're going to get. You don't know that if you charge X amount of money, X number of students need from doctors. But what we do know is that there's a lot of interest on the part of parents who have 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds who want their children to be in educational programs. And I do think that this initiative, because of its facilities, could compete on that level. One would not know until you offer that program and see what happens.
Yes, I would agree with you to a point, but I think, see, so I have a young, I have a young daughter that will ultimately grow up to go to whichever school, whatever we put forward. So for me as a parent, one of the things that makes sense to me is that I work and my husband works, so I need to be able to have something that's before and after, that's one stop, that gives me everything I need. Realistically speaking, where I live, I'm not going to bring a toddler Bruce won for this program when I passed two on the way up that I can argue are equally good. So I think as parents we have to figure out what makes the most sense. I'm not certain that I still hear numbers, and to your point, you never know, but I'm not certain that I hear numbers that's going to warrant us making the decision to have Bruce won become an early childhood center as it is. And me knowing my current situation, I'm not going to drive past all of the different schools that we already said were equally good to bring them here. That is not in a convenient location. It's not easy for me to get back to work. It doesn't make sense.
On your location, I can understand.
And so that's what I'm saying. So a demographics perspective, you look at the house and you see how many 3, 4, or 5 average people are purchasing. Do we know anything from a statistics perspective? Do we have a lot of new work in the county, in our area? What do we know in terms of looking at what the potential could be?
What you get on live births from the state 5 years delinquent. So you don't get present births. You don't get them for 5 years. Don't know. What this is designed to do is have parents from whatever community that they live in, including this one, know that their children could be more than one, because they are from the age 2 up to kindergarten. There's some advantage to that. No advantage to you if you are going past a really high quality program to drive here, unless you find that the program may be as good, if not better, and the cost may be. left. Because the cost part of this is offset by the fact that this is a building owned by the bank. I can't answer that that's going to happen. I can just say this is one possibility for one of those buildings.
So what you're doing is you're presenting four different options. You're stating that there are some concepts to go out and do. Or you're going to make a decision on that. Yet, in looking at the early childhood center and autism possibility consideration, there's no way to be presented to the board as to here's the potential revenue stream, here's the potential expense stream, other than the $500,000 that exists in building maintenance. And the board needs to make a decision, but it seems that they've not been given or not being given this construct, a data set that would allow them to compare option one versus two versus three versus four and maybe five, which would be nothing.
Or a combination of two options.
But they're not going to have the data to
but what they have to decide is of these four options, because I don't know of a fifth, which one seems to be the most possible, the best one, and then you start running scenarios.
How do you do that without expenses and revenues? I don't understand.
Well, you do that based on population, based on anticipated population. You get 10 kids, you do this, 20, 30, 40, that kind of thing.
But that's not the case.
Because...
Well, it's a business case.
We don't have the means to ask families in Cumberland County, if we did this, and we had this, and we charged this, who would come? We don't know. What we do know is that there are three very successful programs, so that there's a real need there. And we do know what the district has to offer in terms of Spruce Run, and we do know something about possibilities of what a number would be in order to make this work. And they're hypotheticals. That's what they are. So the board's not going to decide this next week. The board's going to decide which one of these is something to explore. And then they're going to build the models. And that's how
I'm doing
it. Dr. Lebert, yes.
Can I ask a clarifying question
sure.
for this and all the other slides?
Right.
Does the board, in your opinion, have the option to simultaneously run down more than one presented option to come back with what we feel is the most optimal use of this building?
Yes.
So yes. We have the opportunity to run down a repurpose and the other options or some combination thereof to come up with what we believe as a board is the most feasible and best use of this building?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And you could, because of the nature of Spruce Run, run one program on one side of the building and another program on the other. Because the nature of that is it is a long building with many entrances and it gives you possibilities of that. It is easier to proceed with what I'm going to talk about next, which is lease. Where what you do is you say, we are looking to lease this facility to the following categories and see who comes and what they want to do. You have less control in the lease. There is a real advantage that the lessees are very good customers, very good. But there's also a disadvantage because you don't own as much of that. But let me go to the next one because when I talk about lease, the nature of that building is you have two entrances to that building, which is very rare and very good. I'm going to next. Okay? Yeah, well, on that one, let's do leasing next, because that's the next set of slides. All right?
Great.
Okay. Sir, you going to make it work?
Just go to the...
Let's do schools with children with autism. All right, quickly. No single educational entity exists in Hunterdon County specifically to children with autism. Does not exist. Now, you can have some children in certain small programs, but nothing the likes of what would be a center. The second one is what I was talking about in terms of the Morris Union Jointure people who say that what they have found in the last 5 years
is that the children who come to their program are children at the more severe end of the spectrum. Children with severe autism present a greater challenge to the education districts to meet the needs of children. That's 3 to 21. That's the permissible age. All right, let's do the disadvantage. You need to go, yeah, okay. All right, there you have a ratio, can't be larger than 6 with kids, with children who have autism. Morris Union Jointure Service to Northern New Jersey, present population approximately, it's actually not 250, it's 275. They have approximately 250 in one, or 235, it's about 275. They're in the process of making some changes in terms of how they're using their two facilities. Questions about this? Yes?
Quick question just regarding the lottery that was discussed before, as well as the students that we're currently sending out of the district. So the lottery, has that been about 45 for the past couple of years? Is that sort of a normal number?
45 and 60, actually.
Okay, so that's been every year. And then currently, how many students do we actually send out of the district estimated?
Well, I asked that question about how about children with autism who are out of the district at Marsh and New Hampshire, and the answer is now there aren't any.
So we have none in district.
On the Marsh,
not in there, just out of district.
No. The second part of it is, do we have an idea of how many children are outside the district in special programs?
Yes.
How many?
So next year there will be 4.
4.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Well, by all means, those of you who know the exact number, please volunteer. Yes.
I also just wanted to clarify something there. When you were saying house sales and stuff, you were talking about England and townships, right?
Yes.
These schools would be open to anything.
For those? Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in driving distance or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I think you all know that you have some place between 8 and 11 communities right around where you are, all of them with the exception of Reading that are small. And I'm not including Flemish, it's a little further. I only see from the statistics I have that Reading is the only one larger than Flemish. Okay? Any questions about that? All right, let's go to the next one. Lease. Okay. You could, I think, have as many as 4 independent lease offices because of the nature of that building. There are plenty of entrances. You'd have to make some modifications because you don't want to have them completely open, but that's possible. And the way you would do that is you would keep the school in its present existence and then advertise that that's a possibility. You might also get people who are in the real estate business to do some of that work for you. Several access entrance points. I've been in the building, I've walked around the building. It is not a building that would be hard to divide in any way if you chose to do this. Now, what Kevin has said is, can we do both? Can we do 2 at the same time? You absolutely could, if they were compatible. I mean, I don't know if you want the vo-technical program would be one thing. I don't know if you want a private business to be on one side of the building and then your program from early childhood on another. Of that you have to figure out whether you want to even bother doing.
My point, Dr. Lebrero, is whether or not we could actually consider leasing, repurposing, and whatever other options simultaneously.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think the two that work together are the leasing and the repurposing best.
Gotcha.
But we'll see. That's for the board. Okay. Can we go on? Parking is terrific. Facilities, I think, are superior. And I think because I've talked to people who are in the commercial real estate business, they're talking about this being a very attractive body of land and location. They're not thinking, those people who were talking to me about, they're not thinking necessarily about finding people who want to bring a school. They're thinking about some others. Because of 17 acres, location, two roads in, that's what they're thinking. Leasing covers any number of things. A private school could be a part of the lease. A business could be part of the lease. You do have something that's developing, and we've talked a little about this. There are children, they're no longer children, they're adults with autism who are in special programs once they are 22 years old and older. There are those programs and they're developing. And the nature of those programs is that those kids, those adults, spend half of the time during the day in their program and then the other half in community work. There are programs that do that. So when it comes to your point, Kevin, there are lots of options in this, and there's nothing to say that you can't explore both at the same time. Three of them, I don't know that the next two fit as well, but that's the board of the side. Yes?
Just curious, with the two roads access, don't you think that might be a little bit of a security issue if you open to a private business, you know, going right through the middle school? I don't know who's driving through, I don't know what kind of business is going to be going on. You know, do we want that? Are we going to keep that right open, or will we close that? You know, are we going to make one?
Well, anytime you put multiple inhabitants in the building, you have to consider very carefully how you're going to block off their section. You have to do that.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just thinking of the safety of the kids in our middle school. Like, and, you know, people just drive, people drive through views, so see their kids, it's wrong, but I mean, if it's just a private business, I'd be more cautious.
Yes. You'd be cautious if you were going to have different partners in there. You very much would be.
Right, that's what I mean. So
yes.
Do you close that road off possibly?
Well, I think what you consider is closing the residential part off more than what comes in the back
door. And then maybe access to our middle school there?
Middle school?
Well, yeah. This
the road. The road goes right back to the middle school. Right. Yes. The answer to your question is yes. If you're going to think about leases, it's like selling the house. What about the price? What about the benefit? How long do they have to be in there? How compatible are they to the other parts that you want to consider?
But when realtors tell you that it's an attractive piece of property, I don't think anyone would argue that it's an attractive piece of property. The question would be in the answer. Are there vocational schools that are here that have expressed interest in leasing these schools? And when we talk about businesses coming in, are you aware that we have vacant properties today in Clinton Township and Clinton Town that both mayors are working extensively with firms to try and get companies to occupy those spaces? And it's taking years for those spaces that we have gotten occupied, and we've gotten more no's than we've gotten yeses. The vacant properties. The only interest that we're really seeing consistently in this area, not just Clinton Township, are developers that would like to come in and construct housing, high-dense housing. So even though this is an option in here, it could be an attractive option, it could bring revenue, the probability of being able to get these people in and sign a lease utilizing that property.
Well, I do know about unoccupied businesses. I know about the challenges in trying to find people to do that. To your other question, there are vocational programs that have expressed some interest in the district, right? And that's why Voltech is one of them in there. And that's a different kind of a lease, but it is a good lease, because then you get people to come in from educational programs, that if you can divide that population in a way that you're comfortable with, that would work. Now, I understand that cosmetology was one, and I think there's something with VOTEC, and so exploring those become a possibility. I think small business type arrangements, they're not people coming in and buying a building and taking over, unless you get someone who thinks that they can buy it and be a landlord for all that, but I don't know how it's accepted. Just mentioning those are potential lead fees. There, you could get an idea, you post this and see who comes. That's what a lot of this is going to be. Yes?
It's been a while since I was in Spruce Run. Do they have air conditioning down in the classrooms?
In some.
Because I just tell you, when my two kids were there, they turned on that industrial fan. I mean, one of my kids has a whole dog. Because it was so loud. And so I think they always said it would cost too much to retrofit it. And would this piece of
building
be easier during the summer?
Well, what I understand about that building is that the 1995 edition, they did make provisions for that gymnasium, I believe, and a couple of classrooms that are vacant or adjacent, and a faculty room, and then the rooms where the administration is. That's my understanding. It doesn't appear to be a high priority to now make air conditioning throughout the building. If you've got people who want to come in for 12 months, they're going to ask that question. And then it depends on who they are, how much they're willing to pay, how much is the air conditioning if you can do it. It doesn't matter. Yes.
Has there been
considered
going along with the lines that she was asking before about having the road being shared in the school? Is there consideration of that?
There's been no discussion of that because there is no business, there's no potential customers yet. I think the nature of that is not necessarily subject to local ordinance, more it is subject to what the board, having done this or doing what they want, what they'll permit in terms of use of that road. Part of what you can do, you can work on different kinds of time starts and things like that. But it is a real advantage to have that road more than it is Belvedere. Because when you do Belvedere, you have to be very concerned about 25 people or 25 houses or so with people coming, because the back of the building does work. It works well. Okay, any other questions about this? Yes.
Yes, what are the other benefits
that
you lease the building and you've already needed it again to take it back?
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
That's what repurposing and leasing does for you, is it protects your ownership of the building. That's my understanding, that the possibilities of finding land to build another school in this community very well. So that's why you got to be careful about
what about the space.
Across the street from the middle school, I think it's wetlands. No?
It's just wet.
It's just wet?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's land. I don't know how much there is there. It's just everything that I've heard from people about that is it's not really threat. Now, that may not be true, but that's what they're saying. Okay? Want to keep going here? All right. Those are standard things. I think if you can talk about it, at least you're talking 5 to 10 years. The board, if they want to do that, this is not just put a sign someplace. You have to have someone who is working on your behalf to see who would be interested in that. And the people that I've spoken to in the real estate area have said there is some interest in large plots of land that are in desirable areas. Now, that's what they're telling me. I don't know that necessarily it's going to produce anything. In at least 5 to 10 years. But the district owns it.